Hi, everybody. We're here for the next episode of Final Cuts by BVS Film Productions. We have a very special guest, someone different in this industry, a magician. His name is Richard McClendon, and his company is RW Magic. And we met on LinkedIn, right?
That's right, LinkedIn.
That's right. Well, great to have you here. Thanks for coming on. So ultimately, I can't remember how we did it. There were some questions back and forth in LinkedIn. We did some different things, and you reached out to me, and I reached out to you. And I can't remember.
Your pop-up came up on my in my feed as a potential good, as a potential contact, whatever. And I looked and says, okay, BVS Productions. Okay, we'll click on that, see what goes on. And then you sent me an email, and I says, yeah, because I'm looking for some video production stuff, see what you got to say.
Yeah.
So we had a phone call, and I'm glad we did too, man, because I mean, it's like when you first, I thought the price was going to be skyhocking through the roof and everything, but man, you just like totally talk. I just told you what I wanted, and you made the right, put me in touch with your sound guy and everything, and I says, man, this is a godsend. I mean, it's like a big relief.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
It was a really big relief. You knew what people go through.
Yeah, yeah.
When you got to do
that's
stuff.
That's one thing, you know, with this business, it's we meet all kind of people. It's so eclectic from a standpoint of the type of people we meet, type of industries we meet. And this is a unique one because I don't think we've ever had a magician on our show or worked with one, really.
Right.
So it's very cool. So tell us a little bit about, you know, how you got into this business, what you do, and, you know, go from there.
Okay, you know, keyword business. Mm-hmm. When you first start doing something, be a magician, musician, a hobbyist or something, everything starts as a hobby. You know? And you do it because you saw somebody else on television doing something. Back in our day, all you had was television, 358, UHF, two UHF channels, channel 25. And that's where you really got a lot of your inspirations from if you weren't going out to a
farm
somewhere.
That's kind of dating us a little bit, but you're my age, right? You're exactly my age. That's right.
Yeah, basically, you know, and then you start doing it, labor of love, and all of a sudden your hobby becomes it becomes a pacifier, and it saves you from a lot of stuff. You know, you get stressed out on something. Let me go do the hobby thing. You know.
Yeah.
And for me, it was the magic too. We had these Marshall Brodine magic kits.
Mm-hmm. You ever go to the Yellow Barrel?
Yeah, buddy, the Euro Bowl magic.
Oh yeah, Yellow Barrel. You know where I used to play in a rock band many years ago. I just stopped playing in bands, and I used to buy flash paper there.
Right, Lee Holtz was the guy behind the counter.
Yeah, junior high, I would get flash paper. We'd crumble it all up and try to make, you know, the Kiss thing back then.
Lee Holtz, he's down there now. He was on America's Got Talent, the guy who used to run that store, Lee Holtz.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, that was the only magic place around that I knew of. Was there any other ones?
Yeah, there was when I first started magic, there was the Yellow Barrel, Snyder's House of Magic, which turned into the Magic... The Magic Castle.
Yeah.
The castle turned into the Castle of Magic, and a guy named Joe Loeffler had a magic shop called Pandora's Box. There were three of them.
Okay.
And those were big Richmond Mall, downtown, and the west side. There were two Yellow Barrels, one in all the way further out, Olmsted, and out in Elyria, and one over in Lorraine.
Yeah, that's the only one I knew was the one on the west. I was a west sider, so it's like way west side. Oh, what's that place? You know,
exactly.
So that's neat. All right, so what kind of gigs do you do, or what kind of people are you looking for, or companies to work for as a magic
man? Just about anybody and everybody has a crowd of people. My regular clients right now, I've got municipalities.
Oh, yeah.
For my regular clients. I've been doing stuff for the city of Independence for years. They have a family fall fun day and a summer camp. And every year, their family fall festival.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things. I've been doing that for years. And one of my main clients. I have a Rotary International Group.
Okay.
Two or three times a year, they're having something, and they call me. The lady calls me.
Wow.
You know, and I got my regular company parties.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the standard annual gigs. And, you know, pre-COVID, post-COVID.
Yeah.
You know, everything shut down during COVID. And when it started opening back up again,
yeah.
You know, you start making phone calls. But then again, all of a sudden, some people just start calling you back.
Yeah. You know, I could see that. And it's, you know, and that was an eye-opener, wasn't it?
You know, it was, COVID, you know, because, I mean, there were virtual magic shows going on. A lot of people still do virtual magic shows.
Yeah.
I know they can't be somewhere. Everybody's scared. I did a couple of virtual magic shows. One of the first ones I did, lady, all her friends were all over the country. They're all good friends.
Yeah.
And they wanted a magic show. So this place where I used to hang out at, it's one restaurant, Nighttown. After my gigs downtown and up the way, and I was my little stop-off place to grab some calamari or some mussels or something before I get home.
Yeah.
I got to know the owner, got to know me for like me over the years. He referred me, right? But the year, it was like the year he sold the place. He was getting out of the restaurant business. He referred me to her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, whoa. And I had people from there. She had like maybe 20, 30 people from all over the country downstairs in my basement.
Yeah.
In my little workshop, did a virtual magic show for her, and it was a blast.
Wow. Oh, that's cool. That's cool. So it's a lot of word of mouth. People get to know you over time, and that's really been a lot of it.
It always ends up at word of mouth, you know, because people know, but you still have to do stuff like that. You still have to go online on the internet.
Well, that's what I said. I saw, you know, when I started looking you up, I saw you had all these videos all over the place, you know, on YouTube and different places, and I thought that was really interesting, you know, and that is ways people get to know you without knowing you.
It does, because people pass those along. It's like a business card.
Right.
And one might go all the way around the country before it comes back and says somebody, you know, says, hey, let's call this guy.
Yeah.
You know, I pass out my business cards, right? And I've changed them over the years. Some people keep them in their wallet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they forget that it's there.
Yeah.
So, man, I was thinking about you, and all I got to say is, look, was it my card in your wallet? Mm-hmm. And I'll have like a business card I have from like 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things, word of mouth is what always, it still comes back to word of mouth, but you still have, just to show people that you're not stagnant.
Yeah.
You still got to keep up with the times that they're living in.
Yeah.
Because they want to see you progress as they progressed.
Yeah.
You know, because some of them, they remember when they were working for their own, when they worked for the company, and then they may have bought the company, which I've had that happen a couple times. No, the old man died, and his daughter, who worked in the company, she's running it now with her brothers, and they own the company. Like, hey, let's get dad's magician.
Yeah.
Or we're your grandma's or your grandpa's magician.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, okay, how do you market that? I'm grandpa's magician. You can say that,
right?
You know,
yeah.
But it's like, it's got to come from the person who wants to bring you in.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, you know? Right. And sometimes kids make the company go great, sometimes not so great.
And that's like, basically it, you know.
Yeah, there's no in-between.
That does happen.
That's interesting, man. So, your industry, what do you see as the future of this business?
The future of it?
We talked a little bit about, you know, what I was talking about with the game shows, which I thought was interesting. But... Yeah,
like anything, you know, like I say, the sky's the limit, and it depends on how creative you can be. For every song ever written, there's a card trick. That's how I look at it.
Okay.
For every song ever written, there's a card trick.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you have a bunch of different brands of fragrances, there's only a fixed number, a small amount, less than 10 fragrances that people recognize.
Yeah.
Okay. And the rest is marketing.
Right.
And the rest is, like you say, who you know.
Yeah.
Some people are fans of magic. They, regardless of who the magician is, some people like a good card trick. I mean, there are people who just want to see nothing but cards. They don't care about anything else. They want to sit there at that table and watch you entertain them with card tricks. They got it. No, they got the guy in the office that does one or two, because does a couple of things.
Yeah, right.
Okay,
right.
He does his version of magic or something he learned in a book, trying to press the girls, right? But that same young lady, if she's a card player, say she plays poker, gin, tonk, or euchre, whatever, which there's a lot of euchre card players.
Hmm.
Some people just say, okay, look, I love a good card trick. Can you show me something? They want to see you entertain them with a good card. Can you take that one card trick and really nail an audience for an hour?
Yeah.
That's being an entertainer.
Right.
Michael Jackson, he's a dancer, right?
Yeah.
Let Michael Jackson do one card trick. He can moonwalk and dance for an hour and keep and nail everybody with that one card trick. Okay.
Yeah.
Can you do 25 card tricks and hold people's attention?
Yeah.
Because you know it's like singing the same song, a bunch of songs, and nobody's entertained. You just go sing one song.
Yeah.
But nobody's entertained.
Yeah.
Can you put together a card set that's nothing but card tricks, that's nothing but coin tricks, what have you, and keep people entertained and interested?
Yeah. So that's so true. I watched the thing on Chris Angel last week. Just happened to put him on. I don't know what to think about that guy. Like, you know, he's famous. He's got a lot of interesting things, and I always wonder how much of that is like TV things that aren't real to the eye. You know what I mean? And maybe I'm wrong. I don't know exactly how he works. What are your thoughts on that guy? I mean.
You know, I got to give it to him, Nate. The kind of magic that he was doing, it's on television, but it's over 200 years old.
Oh yeah.
Think medieval.
Really?
Medieval town, and you have the person coming in there showing you these wonders and everything, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's doing this stuff now on television, bringing it to an audience.
Yeah.
You gotta love the guy from that. But just like you said, in the back of your mind, you're wondering. You're not wondering if it's real or if it's real magic or if it's trickery. You're wondering something totally different in terms of putting it together and what's really going on.
Yeah. I keep thinking contortionists on some of these, because you see a lot of the half ladies are cut and he shows half of them, or.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, it's not, is that lady real, and did he really cut her in half?
All right, yeah.
Did he really use magic to cut her in half? A guy named Mark Wilson, when he did the illusion, yeah. Doug Henning did this illusion called the zigzag illusion, where he pulled the lady in, pulled the box out.
Yeah.
No, his whole thing was wonder and amazement. And you really wonder, did that really happen? You're looking at it.
Yeah, right.
You know, Chris Angel, it's like glorified puzzles, maybe.
Yeah.
That's how it's some people feel. They squint.
Yeah.
When I do magic, if I'm doing magic like at a company party, some of my private events, this guy's probably doing real magic. I mean, you get PhDs in nuclear physics. I have, you know, some pretty intelligent people in the sciences.
Yeah.
They still believe in real magic, which is one of the reasons why they got to be a science. They saw something spark their interest.
Right.
How the hell did that happen? How did that happen?
Yeah.
And they want to figure it out. And they figure out to the point when they hit that wall, I'm a scientist. Just experience everything. Exceeds everything I know about science.
Right, right.
That's when you can go, the magic of the day is a science of tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, that's when they hit that wall.
Yeah.
It says, okay, I know it's not magic. I know there's no such thing as real magic. Mm. Man, how do they do that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's
the only explanation. He said, yeah, it must be magic. I guess so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hey, so what would you tell anybody that's just starting out in this field? What would you tell them to do?
Read books and watch YouTube.
Yeah.
Nowadays, there's a lot. You know, I tell you to watch YouTube, but literally speaking, you got to be careful of YouTube, because one thing they can't do with YouTube. Mm. If you look in the comments and you don't see a question that's relevant to what you saw on the screen, you're going to be left hanging.
Yeah.
When I started out doing magic, the only way to learn how to play golf, I don't care how many lessons you take, I don't care how good you are at a practice range, only way to learn how to play golf is to get on the field and hit the ball in the rough, hit it out in the rough.
Yeah.
You got to get on. That's how you know how good your swing is.
Right.
And can you hit that ball? Can you break 80?
Yeah.
Less than 0.5% of golfers can break 80. Breaking 80 is a hard thing to do. Getting below 95 is a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, the only way to learn how to be a good magician is to get out there, and you got to drop the cards in front of people.
Yeah.
You got to make that mistake. And like anything else, that recovery. Can you recover from that and still keep going? Can you hit that wrong note? Everybody know it's a wrong note.
Yeah.
And keep singing that song, and at the end, get a standing ovation.
Yeah, you
know,
right.
People love it, you know?
Yeah, exactly right. It's all about being entertained and sleight of hand and all the cool things that go along with that. And so that's awesome. Well, it's time. Let's see what you got, man.
Okay,
we look forward to it. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna sit down and really see what Richard has to offer here.
Okay.
Awesome.
At BVS Film Productions, we develop instructional videos for all types of businesses. So whether you're a construction company or a law office, we can help.
So we're back, and with BVS Film Productions Final Cuts with Richard from RW Magic, and he is now going to show us what he's got in magic.
Yeah, I'm going to show you a little bit. This is the fun part.
Heck yeah.
One deck. Two hands. Right now, I'm the house magician at a place called the Haunted House Restaurant. Mm-hmm. It used to be called the old Peabody's up over in Melt. And it's a great theme. The whole theme, pick card, any card. The whole theme, hang on to it.
Oh, hold it.
Go ahead and show the camera. No, it's a haunted house. It's a restaurant, and the basic theme is a haunted house.
Mm-hmm.
Four aces in the deck. Name an ace.
Oh, ace of spades.
Ace of spades. That's quick and easy. Right here looking at you, the ace of spades. Name another ace.
Ace of diamonds.
Ace of diamonds. Say stop anywhere in there.
What's that?
Say stop whenever you're ready.
Stop.
Right there. Want me to back up, go on a little further? That's good right there?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And right here on top, the ace of diamonds.
Come on.
Name another ace.
What's left? Clubs.
Ace of clubs, you sure?
Yep.
Would you get a change your mind?
I don't think so.
Okay. Right here looking at you, the ace of clubs.
Come on.
And of course, here we have the ace of hearts and the ace of diamonds.
Oh, there's five of them.
Da-na-na.
All right, that was cool.
And put your card right there.
All right, I got to remember what it is. All right,
right.
The camera will remember what it is.
There you go. Do not forget. He forgets I turn him into a bunny rabbit.
That's right.
And I've done that before. I'm going to leave those aces right there. Now. Bottom card. That's the bottom card. And there's the top card. Somewhere in the middle. The card you selected, okay? Go ahead, can you reach over and just put your hand on top of that deck? Just touch it right there. Now, you know what the card looks like, right?
I do.
Okay. If we leave the cards face down, we see all backs. You're going to find your card just by looking at the back of this deck, which is extremely easy.
Come on.
To do.
That's Da-na-na. Cool. That's cool. See?
That's a quickie.
Yeah, very nice. Okay,
that's
cool.
A quickie.
I just, yeah. See, I don't know how he does that. You know, it's cool.
You know, for somebody who's been doing magic, for a magician who's been doing magic for like years and years, that's one of our standards.
You see, it's so entertaining. I mean, when you're at any type of party, who wouldn't want to have this going on, right?
Basically, you're right. Point to a coin.
Okay.
Down right there?
Yeah.
Okay, now point to a spot on this table, somewhere right there. Money. Does things for money. Get over there. Come on. Go. There it is right there. Money is attracted to money. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Watch. Now you point it right there. Right here we go. One. Point to another coin. One. That is this one right? Go ahead and touch it.
That's there.
Yeah, one plus one is two.
Now, come on. Again, I'm watching.
And three.
I'm watching Richard's hands.
Three plus two is five. Big money, little money, they come together. They make more money. Unos, dos, tres. Three and two is five. Two and three is five. Un, deux, trois. Four plus one is five.
Now I'm watching your hands.
Da-na-na.
And I can't see where he's switching or doing anything. Very cool.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool. Nice.
Thank you.
Nice. Awesome. So those are the two, or you got more?
Let's see. Eddie, think of a card. Just think of any card in the deck. Just think of it. Let me know when you have it.
Cool. Yeah.
Okay. I have it. Got it? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, literally, let your mind go blank. Okay? I want you to visualize that card hovering someplace in front of you. Okay? Now, those of you who can't see Eddie's the sound guy, he's behind the scenes right now. Okay? Now, that's going to be the invisible card.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to mark that card invisible.
Yeah.
All right, now, for the first time, imagine that card floating over here to Dan. Dan, grab that card. Got it? Okay. Now, Dan, for the first time, say the name of that card.
Queen of Hearts.
Queen of Hearts. Okay, hold your hand out. Hold your hand out flat. And there it is right there. That's the invisible Queen of Hearts right there in his hand. Okay? Now take that invisible Queen of Hearts and stick it right between those two cards, right between those two jokers. Oh, there it is. Right now, that invisible Queen of Hearts is between those two jokers, and there's no way that you believe me, do you? I'm going to prove it to you. Remember when I said, let your mind go blank, That's how we mark it, with this blank card. That's literally how we mark that. Okay? Now, you don't believe that blank card really is his Queen of Hearts between those two jokers, right, do you?
I didn't even know there was a card in there.
Tell me about it. Go ahead and take that card, hold it up to the camera, and show everybody. There she is, the Queen of Hearts.
Come on, man.
Dun-na-na.
That's something. That's something.
Now, that right there, that's something you learned. A guy named by the name of John Bannon, he invented that card trick. And it's available, but you have to know, there's a who-you-know factor.
Right.
You have to know another magician. You can be a spectator and see it, and they ask you, where did you get it?
Yeah.
There's no way in hell I'm going to tell anybody where I got it.
Yeah, right.
But because a colleague of ours, he put his blood, sweat, and tears into that.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those things to where he was probably working on something, and then, bam, he had an idea, he shared it with a friend of his who has, why don't you try this?
Yeah.
And they mixed the stuff together, and this is the piece of, and this is the dumpling they come out with.
So how long does it take to learn, to master a card trick like that? Because that right there is like mastering a card trick.
Right. You know, when you first, when you, there are certain techniques of card magic that's strictly card magic.
Yeah.
They don't come from, they come from, ever since the deck of cards was first invented, this deck of cards right here is a watered down commercial version of the original deck of cards. Playing cards were originally hand painted, handmade.
Yeah, right.
By hand. Mm-hmm. And the decks had like maybe anywhere from 102 to 150 something odd cards in the deck.
Yeah.
There was this god awful amount.
Mm.
And now they got watered down. Now it's everything's down to this nice condensed, and there's a lot of symbolism in there and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I've been doing sleight of hand and I've been doing things with a deck of cards long enough to where if I see something, somebody can explain it to me. 5-10 minutes later,
mm-hmm.
I'll understand it.
Yeah.
And then maybe put some, 2 or 3 hours worth of practice. Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
And then as a working magician, I got to put it in front of somebody ASAP to get the spontaneous feedback.
Yeah, got it.
And
got
then if it. I feel like if I like the feedback I got, I might leave it alone or I may just work on it and bring it out 6 months to a year later.
Yeah, wow.
And it's one of those things, you know, it could be one person, one magician, it might take them 5 minutes, where another magician might take them 5 years.
Wow, that's amazing. So, Richard, how can people find you? I mean, where do they go to find you? And we'll put it in the notes as well.
Website, rwmagic.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can come to the Haunted House Restaurant Cleveland,
mm-hmm.
which is on the corner of South Taylor and Cedar Avenue.
Okay.
In Cleveland and Cleveland Heights. And just Google the name, Haunted House Restaurant, Cleveland.
Great.
Standard social media is RW Magic on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter.
Yeah.
And there's another one I'm on, LinkedIn.
Right. Very good. Well, there you have it. Richard, you did a fantastic job. RW Magic, I highly recommend this because this is cool. This is very cool.
You know, I do close-up strolling magic, I do a sit-down magic show, and I do a one-man stand-up presentation.
Very good. Well, great. Well, Richard, appreciate you being on our show today. And
man, thanks for having me. This is outstanding.
Sure our audience will love this. So, well, that's it for us today, guys. We'll look forward to seeing everybody on our next podcast. Have a great day.